Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 23 I want to leave with you tonight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Continue in the faith. This morning we saw the glorious prospect that lies ahead for the Colossian believers, that whenever the end comes, they will be presented spotless and faultless in God's sight. Presented a glorious church, having no spot or wrinkle. But that is future. That is not yet. They are in the present. They are not in the not yet. They are not in heaven. Not yet glorified. Not yet made perfect. Not yet raised from the dead, incorruptible and undefiled and Christ-like. They are still in the body. They are still in the battle. They are still in the business below on earth. And there is something that is essential for them to maintain. There is a conditional element in their great and glorious future. There is an if. Present you perfect. Present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith. There is the necessity of perseverance. The necessity of the Christian continuing and enduring to the end. Now, this does not mean that you can be saved one day and lost the next. That's not what this text is teaching. There are, mind you, some who believe that, some who teach that. And this is one of the texts that they would come to try to establish that view that a Christian can lose his or her salvation if you continue. There is an if, they say. And that means, they say, there is a possibility of the saved perishing if they don't continue. And they say that there are many who don't continue, and some have turned back, and they've lost their salvation. Well, the question is, if people professing don't continue, and turn away, and apostatize, the question is, were they truly saved in the first place? And did they have true faith? Now, some say they may have turned away and perished as Christians. But others say they, if such turn away, they couldn't have truly been born again, couldn't have truly been saved, because it's a mark of God's grace that the new birth life continues and is preserved and perseveres. The truly saved will continue. But the thorny ground hearer, the stony ground hearer, who have professed and have some kind of faith, but they don't continue because they're stony ground and thorny ground hearers. But it is a mark of true faith that it continues, that it endures. Our confession of faith teaches that saving faith is different in degrees, weak or strong, may be often and many ways assailed and weakened, but it gets the victory. Saving faith, true saving faith, endures. It continues. And it endures because of Christ's grace. Do you remember Simon Peter? The Lord Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. He wants to sift you. He wants to blow you away like the chaff. He doesn't want you to continue. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." That it continues. And that's why the faith of God's people, his true people, continues. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It endures, it prevails. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Our faith. And so Christians will persevere. But that is not our subject tonight. I am not proving to you that Christians will persevere tonight. That's not the question in the text, the subject in the text. The subject tonight is not the Arminian Reformed debate. It is not about the question of whether or not the saved will endure. The subject tonight is the saved must endure. They must continue in the faith. The subject is about the necessity of perseverance. Continue in the faith. In other words, the subject is not about what God does or what God will do, that is, keep the saints. That's not the subject. But the subject is about what saints must do. They must keep themselves. And you have to continue, child of God. This is not about earning salvation for yourself, but this is about evidencing that salvation in your life. And you evidence it by continuance. So continuance is proof we are genuine Christians and will be perfected in that day. God is indeed active in the perseverance of the saints. But that's not our subject. You must be active in it. That's our subject. You continue in the faith. You be active in this matter. And so in our text, Paul is reminding the Colossians that they can never be complacent. He doesn't want them to be complacent. He doesn't just end there at the end, at verse 22 at the end. No, he wants to remind them, you have to persevere, you have to endure, you have to go on to the end. That you must be constantly active in your steadfastness. And don't be led back and don't become complacent. And so it is a Christian's responsibility to persevere. And that's what we're speaking about tonight, child of God. Your responsibility to continue in the faith. Now notice, first of all, it is put positively. Continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. And then it is reinforced negatively. Do you see how the apostle handles it here? And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So he's positively stating it. Then he's coming to say the same things in negative terms. He's reinforcing this duty. You will notice also what it is that Christians are to continue in. And you will also notice what it is that they are not to be moved away from. They are to continue in the faith. And they are not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Christians need to remain or continue in the faith. What does this mean? Well, this is understood in two ways. In a wider sense, the Christian faith. Continue in the Christian faith. The faith is the articles of faith that we believe, the body of truth, the faith, the things believed among us. The whole system of Christian theology, the doctrines, Christian fundamentals, the faith. And very often in the scripture, this expression is saying exactly that. The body of truth that Christians believe and have received. You remember how Jude, in an age of apostasy, how he was exhorting the believers that it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, the truth, the body, the system of Christian belief, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Remember how Paul said to Timothy, as he's coming to the end of his life, he says, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so this is all that we believe. The person of Christ, the incarnation, the history and life and death of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. That he lived and died for us and rose again for us from the dead. And that he ascended up into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father. And he's there for us as our prophet, priest, and king. And he intercedes for us. And he's coming back to get us. That's the faith. That's what we believe. Those are the fundamentals. He's God. He's God and man and one person forever. And his blood cleanses us from all sin. And there's no salvation apart from him. This we believe. This we confess. And so you're to continue in that. There is a stricter sense of the use of this expression, the faith. Faith, in this second sense, will include the element of trust in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Paul has already spoken about faith in verse 4 there. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And it may be this that he is referring to. We've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. We know you have faith in Christ. Now continue in that faith. Continue trusting Christ. Don't let him go. Don't let the philosophies of the age or the doubts of Satan so get into your mind that you begin to depart and to lessen your hold of and trust in the Son of God. Don't let go of Christ. Keep depending upon his person. Keep coming to him as the mediator. Keep trusting in his work, depending upon his blood. You are to remain doing that. Keep on believing in Jesus. And don't be moved away from your confidence in him. And so keep on trusting. Always be looking to him. Always pray in his name. Always come to him for righteousness and for redemption. This dear Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let him go. Christ himself puts it this way. Abide in me. continue in me. And let my words abide in you. So continue in the faith. This, the hope of the gospel, the other expression, that is the hope of glory. The heaven and everlasting hope with Christ forever and ever. Don't lose sight of it. Don't forget what lies before you. Don't be removed from that blessed hope. And so by this he means the hope that is the gospel. The gospel hope. The good news of Christ's person. The good news of Christ's work. The good news of Christ's resurrection. The good news of Christ's present ministry and now in heaven. The good news of his coming back again for you in a time to yet come. Oh, don't be removed from that. Don't let that go. Never forget that. Don't let it go into the background. Don't let the devil shift you away so that it becomes an obscure thing. Keep it before you. Don't get further from it. Yeah, rather get deeper into it and closer to it. Observe how Paul says, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Why does Paul add that? Why does he say that? He's bringing them back to the start. He's bringing them back to where it all commenced in their lives. The day they were saved. The day the gospel came to them. The day they heard it with power. And the day they first believed. He's bringing them back. Because they knew it was real. They had experienced it. They knew its power. They knew it was the word of God. You heard that faith, he says. You heard that gospel. Indeed, everybody heard it. It was so mighty. It was going into all the earth. It was coming into all the cities of the Roman Empire. It was spreading its way throughout Asia. And it reached you in Colossae. And it reached the neighboring village of Laodicea. It was spreading like wildfire through the land. You knew it. You knew it was accompanied with the Holy Spirit. You knew it was the truth. It was preached to you as it was preached to everybody, and you felt its power, and you saw the effects of that word in your community. You remember how he wrote there in verses 5 and 6? For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, this is the same hope he's talking about now, whereof ye have heard before in the words of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world. He's repeating those very same words. And bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. You felt it. You experienced it. The word came with power. It changed you. It made you new creatures. Why would you give it up? Why would you not continue in it? Why would you be shifted away from it? Don't be shifting. You knew God's grace. You brought forth fruit. And you must continue in that grace. And you must continue being fruitful. And you heard my testimony, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. How I met Christ. How I experienced his power on the Damascus Road. That power that was accompanied by the Spirit. And it persuaded you too, that same power. And you became believers as I did. And I'm not for moving, Paul says. I'm for continuing. I'm not for shifting. And so he's telling them, it's God's word. It's the divine truth. It's the revelation of heaven itself. That faith is grounded in the word of God, which I preached I was made an apostle and minister of it. That hope is contained is in God's word. In other words, he's telling them, you began well. You got on the foundation. You got established in the faith. You can't stop now. You can't give up. You can't turn away. You haven't reached the prize yet. You haven't got to the perfection and the faultlessness and the sinlessness yet. You have to strive on for the prize. So don't let go and don't give up. Now notice how Paul four times emphasizes perseverance. Verse 23. If ye continue, that's the first word. Grounded, that's the second word. Settled, that's the third word. And not moved away, that's the fourth word. So he's piling in the words, isn't he? He doesn't just say continue. No, he's piling in the words. He's hammering home this necessity. He's multiplying the metaphors and the pictures. And so he is letting the Colossians know this is important. This is vital. And congregation, you need to know that this is vital tonight. You have to continue. You have to be settled. You have to be established. You have to be grounded. And you can't be moved away. Let's go through the words one by one then. Continue. To continue is to abide or tarry in a certain place. A certain position. Or to persevere in a certain matter or a certain thing. Just to stay firm on that. Not letting that matter go. Not letting that matter drop. Not moving one step from that position, that place. And the place is the faith. That's the place. The position is the Orthodox Christian creed. I believe in God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. And in the Holy Spirit, and in the forgiveness of sins, and in the life everlasting, and in the second advent. That's the faith, that Christ is God, that Christ is Savior, and neither is there salvation in any other, and to be joined to Him is everlasting life. That's the position I've adopted, that's the position I'm standing in, and I'm continuing in that position. To be joined to Him is life. To be severed from Him is death, eternal death. To continue in that faith is most necessary. So remain in that position. Then grounded and settled. These other two words that he brings together. It may help us to understand that these are the words of building. The building trade, the building of a structure, a superstructure. If you're going to build a house, if you're going to build a tower of flats or whatever, or offices, it's going to have to be grounded. And as you build it taller and taller, it's going to have to be a building that's settled. These are builder's words. A house must be grounded. It must have a good foundation in order to that. And the faith is the best foundation that there is. It must be established on a rock, and Christ and the truth concerning him is that rock. Upon this rock I will build my church. And so you're grounded. You have to be grounded on the rock, and you have to stay grounded into the rock. So the faith is a solid rock. And so it is. And Christ and his truth is that rock. Remember how the Lord Jesus said in that parable, the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. It didn't fall. It didn't fall because it was founded. It's the same word. It was grounded on the rock. It was built into the foundation. It was joined to Christ. What did Paul say? Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Remember Isaiah said, the Lord said through his prophet, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. No, he'll be grounded. He'll not have to run away. He'll not have to be moved. He'll not have to shift from his position, because it's a real rock. And he believes and is grounded. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the truth, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so, grounded. And then settled. That means firm and unmovable. Grounded on the rock, the superstructure itself must continue to be built. The building must abide firm on the foundation. So grounded makes us think of the union with the foundation, but settled makes us think of the whole body remaining steady and firm on that foundation. One body. That's what the church is, one body. On the foundation, just resting solidly upon the rock. In other words, child of God, there's not one part of your life that should waver. There's not one part of the church that should shake. And as the church grows and as you grow, you shouldn't waver. You should remain steady, settled, firm, not shaking. As you get older and older upon the rock, you shouldn't be moved about, waving around, settled. You should be settled. You should be settled with Christ. You should be happy with the Savior. You should be happy with the Christian faith. You shouldn't have doubts about it. You shouldn't be shaken concerning it. Settled. And you mustn't waver. And then the negative image, not moved away. This again is a building trade word. You see, in Paul's day, especially in Turkey and where this is, and especially in this part of, in this part which is called the Lycus Valley, it's prone to earthquakes. It's prone to tremors. And there's nothing more terrible than the dreaded earthquake. And poorly constructed buildings are poorly founded houses. When the tremors came, they just shifted away. They just slid away from the base. They just went down the mountain or down the hill or down the ground. They just moved. And they collapsed. And the child of God can't be like that. And he's going to experience tremors. Because the devil's going to shake him. And the devil's going to shake the ground around him. And there are going to be the earthquakes in the life of the child of God to move him away from the foundation, to shift him. Satan will shake you, child of God. Simon, Simon. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. He wants to move you away. He wants to shift your position. He wants to change your mind about the faith. But I've prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail, that you'll not be moved. Do you remember Paul wrote to the Thessalonians? He said, I do want you to be soon shaken in your mind. I do want you to be shaken in your mind or troubled, neither by spirit, neither by word, nor by a letter, as purports to come from us. I don't want you to be shaken and moved and shifted by a false thought. And the false thought was the day of Christ is right at hand. It would come any minute. That was a false thought. And it stopped working. It stopped doing their duty as workers, making a living, bringing in the income. They're hanging around waiting for the Lord to come. And the devil is making their lives no example to the world around them. The devil was shaking them. The devil would shift you, child of God. He would chase you from your position. He would put you into flight. He would move you away. We'll see later on in Revelation, whenever the devil is after the woman, what does he do? He sends the floods after her. The floods of heresy to shift her. If it's not an earthquake moves a building, the floods will do it. Floods will destroy a building. Wash it away if it's not grounded and settled. If you're not grounded and settled, child of God, there'll be a heresy come blowing along. There'll be a cult come knocking to your door. And the devil will send the flood tides against your mind. And he'll shift you. Modern thinking. The modern philosophy. The liberal ideology that's going around, the teaching of evolution, all of these things have shifted so many. And then afflictions and troubles can sift you as well. Persecutions, painful trials, can make you give up, can make you turn. Whenever persecution comes, it may seem easier to deny Christ and to give up your position for the safety of your bodily life. But you must not be moved away. Even in the face of the most intense persecution, even at the expense of your life, you must not be moved away. Remember, Paul said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me. I'm not for being moved. I'm not going to be chased away at the thought of preserving my life. Remember how it was told the house of David, Ahaz was the king at that time, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. Oh, that's terrible. That's scary. that Syria has become confederate with an Israelite tribe. That's scary stuff. And whenever the house of David heard it, his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. A great wind. And they were all shifted. And there can come a great wind in your life. Don't be shifted. Don't be moved. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but don't be shifted. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And pestilences and all manners of things, but don't be shifted. Paul said to the Thessalonians that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. And so you have to continue. Don't be moved away. Remember how the Lord said, they on the rock, the rocky ground here, are they which hear the word, receive the word with joy, but these have no root, and which for a while believe, but in time of testing and time of temptation, they fall away, they are moved away. And then the others fell on thorny ground. They heard the word, and they had some growth, it seemed, but then they were choked. The cures and the riches and the pleasures of this life choked the word. They were moved away. But this was not true saving faith. This was just temporary faith, not the real thing. Paul says, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Stand. Remember that great chapter in Ephesians 6, the armor? Put on the whole armor. You're not to be moved away. You need the armor on. To be able to stand. To be able to continue grounded and settled against the wiles of the devil. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's the devil. Principalities and powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Take unto you the whole armor, every bit of it. You need it. There'll be his fiery darts, there'll be all his tools, all his instruments to chase you, to sift you, to shift you, to move you. Take it all then, so that you can stand in the evil day, and having done everything with that armor on, continue standing. Stand therefore. He repeats it again and again. Stand, don't be moved. Have your loins girt about with truth. Have the breastplate of righteousness on. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Take the shield of faith to cover you from the fiery darts. But stand. Stand steadfast. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, praying always with all prayer. And so Paul is saying, the Christian foundation doesn't shift. Let none of you who stand on it shift. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? You haven't got a better foundation. There can't be a better place than the Christian faith, child of God. Don't be moved away from it. How does one do this in closing? How does one persevere in the faith? Well, let me suggest very quickly five things. It will, first of all, mean partaking. Partaking of the word of faith. It will mean using the means of grace. It will mean drawing from that foundation, getting those truths into your soul, drawing them up from the foundation into the very fabric of the superstructure of your life. Feeding on the word, feeding on the truth, feeding on the scriptures, hearing the word, reading the word, drinking the word, using the word, proving the word. And so it will constantly mean partaking of the faith. Abide in me and my words. My words, mind you, abide in you. So continue partaking of the word of God. That gives you the strength. That puts strength into the structure. Partaking. But also continue professing the faith. And by that I mean constantly go over your confession. Constantly say what you believe. You know, the early Christians knew the importance of this. The earliest creed is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty. You know, they said that every day. Every day they said that. Every day they profess that. I believe. This I believe. You have to constantly confess. Know what you believe. Go over what you believe. Remind yourselves regularly, even daily, of the fundamentals. Say the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, or monthly or regularly read the Shorter Catechism of the Westminster Confession of Faith. Not because they're your Bible, but because they so succinctly state the faith, the fundamentals, the important things that we must never be shifted from, that we must daily, as we look down at our feet upon which we stand, we must daily say, I believe. I believe this. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe God was manifest in flesh. I believe that Christ died for my sin. According to the scripture. And so profess regularly and daily. It doesn't take long to read either of the creeds of the Shorter Catechism or the Westminster Confession. It's a summary of the things believed among us. You can't continue in the faith unless you daily remind yourself what it is. So profess it. And then it will mean praising for these truths, praising God, thanking God for the great truths. You know, if you thank God for something and appreciate it, you'll not give it up, you'll not be removed from it easily. Praise is so important. It glorifies God, but it helps you too. You see how often Paul praises God for the truth and for the things of his grace. He's always doing it. Praise him for the faith, for the doctrines, for the fundamentals. Praise him. Thank him. And then fourthly, it will mean praying as well, won't it? Praying that the Lord would keep you, that the Lord would quicken you in these things, that the Lord would strengthen you in the battle, that the Lord would hedge you about, that the Lord would reinforce you, that the Lord would put the armor on you, that the Lord would come and uphold you and sustain you. Tell him your weakness, your frailty. Tell him how little your faith is. Tell him you need him, you trust him. And so, to continue in the faith, there will be the necessity of praying. And then, perform. There's a necessity of performing the faith. And by that I mean obeying. Doing what the faith would expect us to do. To continue in it means to continue in a path of obedience, a path of holy living and righteousness and godliness. To continue not just in the notions of the things that we believe, but in the practicalities of all of that in your life. To keep His commandments, to perform His word. And then to continue in the faith also will mean to present the faith, to speak it and share it with others, to spread it abroad. And this not only helps them that you spread it to and present it to, but you will also find that it helps you to continue as you spread it and give it and distribute it to others and talk about it. It strengthens your faith, as well as perhaps through God's grace, originating faith in those that you speak to. And so present it. All of this is involved in this continuing in the faith. And so may the Lord bless these words to your hearts. Let us pray.